Yo, 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 welcome to Crate 808 and part two of our summary of 2020, a truly historic year, but one that delivered incredible music for us to dive into. Before we get into it, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're checking this out, on YouTube or your podcast player or, you know, wherever you are, man, press subscribe and like, share the love. Thank you very much. And obviously, if you jump to this episode, check out episode one, man. We've had top five albums. And this is going to be a bit different, man. This has got a few more categories going in. But jump into the convo, man. We want to hear from you guys. So email us, crate808@gmail.com. Hit us up on socials. We want to hear how is your 2020 in hip-hop. Like, what are your favourite albums that your mates are sleeping on? Why are they not liking the albums you love? What are the top bars of 2020 for you, or top verse? Who is the rap MVP, or your favourite rapper? Who just dropped the best bars? Or is just doing something in the game that's just different? Do you know what I mean? Or your feature of the year? All that stuff, man. So right now, let's get back into it. Summary of 2020, part two. Let's go. Right, albums of the year are done. Let's go on to some of the other categories we've got to just summarise 2020. First one I wanted to, we've done our hip-hop albums. One thing I've noticed over the years, there are so many good albums like Pimp a Butterfly that you feel like, oh, it's such a good album, but you don't listen to it a lot. So one of my categories is best album you'll never listen to again. So let's try to keep it rap. What have you got there, Ray? Best album that you'll probably never listen to again?
ADHD. Yeah, Jordan Lucas. I don't know. There's some bangers on there. Like Will and Lotto and I don't know. It's weird. It's like there's like having an old man moment of like, oh, this is what modern hip hop sounds like. This is great, but I'm not gonna listen to it again. It's like I listen to it, but I also feel like it's not for me. It's for those people over there. I'm like, shit, that's really good music. Enjoy it. See you later.
In your bedroom, people in your bedroom.
Yeah, you're just over in the forest over there. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it's fine.
please do go back to the last episode we did where Ray, the mailbag episode where Ray shows the forest in his room. It's great. Okay, yeah, I can get that with ADHD. It's a solid album. It was fine. I'm not really listening to it. So mine is violently intense, right? It's very apt for an intense year, but Pink Sifu's Negro. Now, yeah. I don't know if anyone's heard this, but I'm very up for doing just a live stream of Ray starting the album and it probably lasting 20 seconds and the live stream ends. And that's Ray's listen to Pink Sifu's Negro. Because I like punk. It has a lot of that, but the hip hop in there as well. And it's fucking mad. So yes, that is mine. Raymond?
I haven't listened to it. I don't think I will.
Okay.
What is it? Who, wait?
Pink Sifu.
Pink Sifu.
Pink Sifu.
Pink Sifu.
Pink Sifu. Sifu. He's great. He's done other projects with Fly Anakin and people like that. He's been around for a while. But this album, I don't know, something about it. It woke me up, I'll tell you that. It really woke me up. And I love the way he uses punk in it. And I love the way it just is so wild. But I don't know, has anyone heard it? Don't think anyone's heard
it. Yeah, you sent it to me. I listened to Ensley. Ensley was one of my like favorite albums of like, I think it was 2018. And it's a really beautiful album with like lovely jazz loops and quite like abstract and avant-garde and like, but not too like aggressive or anything like that. It's just a nice listen. And then Cam was like, oh, he's got a new album out. And I looked at the cover and I was like, oh, fucking hell, and put it on. And Jesus Christ, like it makes Death Grips sound like really chill.
Yeah. The intro, I am almost convinced he did the intro to this album to just put people off. Like, if you can't get through this intro, then don't bother listening to this album. It really felt like that.
It's a bit like our podcast.
It is very much like that.
You can't get through this shit, then just leave.
Don't bother, mate. Don't bother. James, what's your best album you'll never listen to again?
Well, I was getting really excited because I'd sort of mentioned this album middle of the year and I was like, I hadn't really listened to it that much and I kind of thought Navy Blue was a bit better, but it was Medany, Cold Water. And I was like, I'm going to add that to my five because I've banged this a lot and it's like got really beautiful production and quite thoughtful lyrics. And then Cam dropped it on me that, oh, he's a bad man.
He's not a great bloke.
He's not a good guy. He's had some really bad sexual allegations against him, Medany has. And yeah, I can't, I mean, I'm not going to write him off but like I'm also not going to co-sign in because of that, and like let's wait and see what happens. But all of his whole crew, like Mike and people like that, have sort of dropped him and publicly said, you know, they don't agree with what he's done. And when stuff like that happens, you got to be like, oh mate,
yeah.
Like
yeah, and it's
they're not backing you.
It's similar to, you know, to what we were saying just now about, you know, West Side Gunn's really likable, so all right, well, maybe I'll listen to his music a bit more. And it's kind of the opposite effect, isn't it? Like, pff, doesn't really matter how
it's the Gary Glitter effect, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not saying Medden is the Gary Glitter of hip hop. He's not done anything with kids. Like, there's been some bad allegations about him, and like, I don't think we should support stuff like that. So don't 100%. Go and listen to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like there's a...
Just allegations though? I don't know anything about it.
At the time of recording, there are allegations. At the time of recording, it's allegations, and I'm not sure what's going to happen after. But the thing about it, he has made some great music. And he's made some great music, and it's just a shame. So I get why you wouldn't play that again. It's fair play. That's why 12 Play doesn't get played in this house anymore.
Or, what's 12 Play?
R. Kelly. R. Kelly was on
the fact that it ever did is just oh my 12 god.
Plays an album, but that's either way. But
oh dear.
At least I didn't bring R, the double album with Home Alone on. I fucking used to love that album. Either way, I get it. I like
Home Alone. He had a track called Home Alone. Was it about him fucking Macaulay Culkin?
Mate, you remember Home Alone, man? The fucking video and they're fucking in the house party, and we used to rinse that when we used to go out.
That's a banger.
I think we went out to it, Jumbo. But what I was going
to
say was...
We came out to it.
That's later. We'll do that later. Me and Freddie Gibbs, just be one of these.
Someone send him a life-size Freddie Gibbs.
If someone can send me a life-size Freddie Gibbs with his torso out, one, I'm never getting Freddie on the pod. That's never going to happen then.
And two, it won't stand up because it'll get all soggy.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Just let you know. I'm cutting this out.
No. Ray hates sexual stuff, doesn't he? He hates it.
It's not necessary, is it?
Either way. Yeah, it's not necessary. You're right. But I was going to say, what's interesting what you said there about Medellin or whatever, however you say his name.
Medellin.
Yeah, getting like disowned. I did watch the 6ix9ine documentary from Hulu. I'm not sure if anyone's checked that.
Oh my God, I have to watch that. That's like car crash viewing, that will be.
Mate, honestly, I didn't think I'd really want to watch it. I put it on just as a, let's see how it starts. And what sold it was that Sean Sotero, big up, who's been on the pod, he's featured it talking. So that kind of, I was like, okay, I'll check this. Really good documentary. And when you talk about people disowning people and what people do for clout, man, that's probably one of the best hip-hop docs of 2020. Do go check that out for 6ix9ine. If you know, especially if you know nothing really about it, which is like me, yeah, it's pretty mad. His life is pretty mad. So next up, MVP of the year for 2020. Just a disclaimer, I don't know what the checklist is here for how you would say what is an MVP of 2020. So I'd say we do it subjectively. Guys, I would love to
There's
know
anyone.
From you guys. Oh, Raymond, who is the only one MVP of the year and why?
Well, it's Cardi B because of WAP. Not really, fucking hell. Can you imagine? It's not. It's fucking not. It's West Side Gunn. Obviously, it's West Side Gunn. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he has kind of...
I'm really disappointed you thought that was a serious... I can't believe you thought that was a serious... This is Cray 808. This, look, don't respect Cardi B, whatever she's doing. I got no judgment there. She's fucking... you got respect, hustle. She gets on it.
I thought what you might say was Meg. Because I think Meg has it. You could be in that conversation for Savage, for WAP, for her being just dealing with a drama that has taken over like a lot of hip hop like conversations.
Yeah, but the drama, I disagree with the dealing with the drama thing, because you know, if you start the conversation of like this person's drama is bigger than that person's drama, you don't know what that person that's dealing. Do you know what I mean? That's like it's irrelevant. I don't think Megan put it out there for everyone to hear as a way of manipulating people to feel sorry for, or whatever it might be. But it's weird. It's just too public. It's like, I don't care about that because your music's great. I don't need to know about all this other shit. But it's West Side Gunn, isn't it? Let's get back to it.
I can see that conversation. James, MVP of the year? Who have you got?
Well, similar-ish, but like, who's had the most effect on the sound of this year and had a hand in the most albums? Alchemist.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I think Alchemist is right up there.
I'm not even the biggest fan of Alchemist, but he's made a lot of bangers this year, and like, he's really brought that sound back and like created something new with it, e.g. like less drums, more set, like letting samples sort of sing a little bit and giving them a bit of ease in the beat rather than just like chopping the shit out of them. Like certain producers of shit Detroit albums last year were doing. He's letting them breathe a little bit and having a really lovely, rich sound and brought that back. So yeah, Alchemist.
I wish Apollo Brown put out more this year. Fucking hell. He only did that Chez Noir thing, didn't he? And it was just kind of... Was there anything else?
I like that.
The beats were sick, but I don't think... Yeah, I didn't really rate Chez Noir. But anyway,
sure. What Ray's trying to say there is it had a woman on it. That's why he didn't like it.
I don't think... I love Chez Noir. Yeah, to be fair, this year, female fucking...
That woman I didn't like on it.
Fucking, mate, there's dumb bin. I would say Alchemist, if you're producing three of my favourite projects of the year, Alfredo, Price of Tea and Lulu, and each one be different. Lulu is almost like a 80s, the synths he uses on that remind me of like really schlocky 80s films. I'm like, what was he listening to or watching when he made this album or project? And then he does Alfredo, which is completely different. And then he does Price of Tea, which is completely different. So I get with that. I think if you're doing tracks like Doe and Damani, which are on Conway's album, if you're doing stuff on Jay Electronica's 500 Ounces, Claiborne Kick, there's so many things he's done. I am with you. But also, a little caveat on that, he also did produce Stepdad on Eminem's album, which is possibly one of the worst tracks of the year. So just to tell you.
It's not good.
Al's been great, but he did Stepdad, which I'm not a fan of. So yeah, there you go.
Megan on Apollo Brown. That would be sick. And Megan's another one. You like her as well. She's cool.
I've got a category for this. Ooh. Let's get to that category in a minute.
Did you just say you want to hear Megan Thee Stallion on the fucking
Apollo Brown beat? Sick boom bap beats. Yes, I do. Why don't you like hip hop?
Imagine that. Slow down Meg, bit more like introspective. I'm here for that. Ray, you slightly blew my mind there. I would say just my MVP, and I talked about it before we run the jewels, but well, hold on. Before we even get into this, hip hop is so vast now. Everyone's got their MVPs. Little Baby is someone's MVP out there.
Mistake.
Each area of hip hop, but again, these conversations, we have such a vast scape of hip-hop now compared to what me and you grew up as, because each area is so deeply embedded with its own echo chambers and its own crowds. I can go through 2020, right, and not even realize Juice WRLD or Little Baby are like running the charts. It affects me not at all, right? But in the 90s, that couldn't happen in the 90s. It was a different genre. It was a different ball game then. And I suppose you can look at that now, and these ones, for me, Killer Mike is MVP for inside and outside of the music. He hasn't just done great verses. He's done great verses. He's done Album of the Year for me. He's done Verse of the Year for me. He's fucking made a banking app for his community. He's fucking done Thanksgiving giveaway. Like, he did a drive-through where you drive through and get a free Thanksgiving food. And the fucking speech in Atlanta when the riots were kicking off. We will look back at that moment and think, one man stood up and said what needed to be said, and it was a rapper called Killer Mike in Atlanta. And the passion he brought to that speech, man, I'll get goose pimples thinking about it now. And I think I'm always now going to have a symbiotic relationship between 2020 and the madness of this year and Killer Mike. I think those two are going to go hand in hand for me, and that's why he's my MVP. I think he's just done things that... And you can talk about Conway being the best rapper. I would say Conway has maybe bought the best. Honestly, Conway has been...
Who said that?
I do.
What just happened?
I think it's between...
What did you say? Hello?
It's between Killer Mike, Freddie
Gibbs.
What's
happened? Is this...
Conway has been incredible this year. He has bought bars and bars and bars. The bars he brings where he says... I can't even remember what it is, but it sticks in my head where he says, you know what? I'm going to get your girl. I'm going to cook dough in your kitchen and she's going to wash up. I was like, whoa, what is this? Like the way the balls of this guy... And just, I feel it. I feel the way he spits. There's emotion. And just like I've talked about the contract on the mid-year, he says things that resonate with me where I feel his pain. And he sounds like a bloke who's in pain. If you see interviews with him, if you see him talking, he's pretty much a confessed alcoholic. He's pretty much confessed that he doesn't like talk. He doesn't like friends. I don't talk to people. I don't try to make friends in this rap game. The fact that I saw him on Clubhouse, I was like, what are you going to do on here? I can't wait to hear this. I find that with Conway, there's just a fascination I have with him. And he's slowly going up above Benny for me, who's been great this year as well. But there's something...
He definitely is the standout in the Griselda, 100%. But I mean, I would argue that's fairly easy to be. But... His feature and this is another category feature of the year, when he featured on Killer, Juicy J's track Killer. Have you heard that? Just that it's just isn't that his he's got the last verse on that and he just absolutely murders it. His flow, everything is just, and to the it's the way he flows to that beat. Like I've been skipping to the end of that, like, because Juicy J's
just to get to him.
Juicy J's unremarkable, should we say, to not be so negative. But the end, but that his Conway's verse on that is just ridiculous. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, he's got some banging features. You're right.
1-2-1-2, you know what it is. This your man SKYZOO Sky Zoo live out the borough, and this is the Crate 808 podcast. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review, and most importantly, share that love and put your peoples on. Crate 808, one time.
So next up, next category, it's a big one, but just favorite verse of the year. Like, do we have our favorite verses of the year? If you haven't got verses, maybe go bars, but I would like a verse.
I've got some good bars and I could give it to a verse, but like, yeah, there's so many good bars. So I was going to say that, like, we were just talking about Conway and I was thinking, and like Benny the Butcher and him are a little bit interchangeable for me. I know they're different, but like they both bring a kind of similar energy. But a line that I always like is off George Bondo, and I think it's Benny, and it's the last part of his verse. And the last part of his verse is, "She suck, fuck, count up the money, but still annoying."
Hold on.
It's a really weird way to end the verse.
Sucks and fucks and counts the money and she's still annoying. Benny, man, Jesus.
It's a really weird end to a verse. That's the end of the song as well.
Yeah, I don't know if I like him as much now.
So it's just rude, isn't it?
So disrespectful.
Very rude. Very disrespectful.
Just ungrateful as well, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Okay, Raymond, have you got one, a verse of the year or bars of the year?
That's, by the way, that's not my verse of the year. I just want to put it out there. That's not my verse of the year. That was just a funny lyric that I remembered.
It's a funny lyric that you remembered.
What is your verse of the year?
Probably the first verse off of Run the Jewels with "Back at it like a crack at it." Crack the black man is so good. Yeah.
Oh, mad.
It's not verse of the year.
Yes, Yankee and the Brave. That's up there though.
It's mine. You literally can't take it away from me. It is my verse of the year. I just said it.
You can't tell me. Ray, what's yours? I'm looking forward to this.
Mine is the verse of the year. So it's Black Thought. It's the second verse on State Prisoner. So State Prisoner, that track starts and then it the beat switches and then it's just Black Thought. Just being Black Thought on it. And you know what I mean? He couldn't be in for Album of the Year because that's this verse just across the whole track. It's too much draining. It's just too much to listen to because it's just, he's just bar after bar after bar of like, just it's you want to just pause and be like, fucking, it's got to take a minute, you know? Yeah. But
he's a monster.
But yeah, this verse on State Prisoner is just absolutely ridiculous. It's just incredible. There's so much in it. It's just, and you know, and it's Black Thought. You've got to check it out because the way the beat switches and then he just kicks in and it's more than 16 bars. It just goes on and on.
Have you seen the Colours rendition of State Prisoner?
The one, sorry.
He's got a fucking great top on. There's a series called Colours. He's on YouTube and he's doing State Prisoner, but he's got his fucking great top on that just says GOAT there. And I'm like, that, I need that. It's fucking great. And it, just the way he is, I'm with you. Black Thought, he's had some great features as well this year.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck,
he's been all over Griselda shit.
It just seems effortless for him as well. Like, there's one line, just to go on up, just that verse, like, you know, just rewind moments. I missed it the first few times. "I'm the Honourable Ponce Noir, my nom de guerre, Ponce Noir, this French four." Fucking hell, I don't know anything.
We haven't looked it up. Like, you looked it up, mate.
No, so I didn't.
I don't know what Ponce Noir is.
Ponce Noir. It's Black Thought in French. Ponce is think. Ponce is think. Snap. Noir is
so
black.
You didn't look that up. You just knew that, did you?
You don't. Well, how do you not know Ponce Noir? That you just fucking. I'm just working with heathens, okay?
I do now. That's all right. A great name.
Come on, Ponce, tell me some Noir. Fucking Freddie Gibbs verse. Let's go. All right, brilliant. Let's go.
No, okay, my verse was. I've already talked about it anyway. It's Goonies versus ET or Ooh La La or even Walking in the Snow.
You can only pick one. Pick one. Make a decision, pick one, but you stand by it.
But do you know, we talked about Walking the Snow in the review this year. I don't think there's been a verse this year where timing-wise with the protests, with just everything was so high intensity at that point. I can't really explain it in my world anyway. I remember hearing that verse in that time and thinking, when he's talking about choking and that whole thing with the Walking in the Snow verse is great, but Goonie versus E.T. is incredible. When he talks about Ain't No Revolution is televised and digitized, you've been hypnotized and Twitterized by silly guys, that whole verse, yeah, forget it. That's a master at work. So yes, I'm there with you, but I was going to say there are other verses out there that have been great. Conway on Frontlines, little one for you, Ray. Little Wayne on Mahogany.
That's one of the most enjoyable verses, right? Yeah, true. It's enjoyable. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's so good.
You can't really put it next to Black, but you know, just like, oh, and also this.
But it's enjoyable. Yeah. It's Little
but
Wayne.
It's Little Wayne things. It's quality. Yeah, it's a concept tune
Mahogany
as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, Mahogany is addictive. I really enjoy that track.
That was on my top five Spotify year wrap up whatever thing. Yeah, it's just
nice. Your old Droog on New Religion is fucking amazing as well. But I am going to say this for you, Jambo, for bringing In Good Hands with Ada, Arin, and Carr on there to me, because Carr's lines on there are incredible. Like they're Gears of War years before I enlisted with Navy, and then he talks about too many struggling loved ones to ever sit in Mercedes, from that population where spread loves the obligation, all this stuff that he comes out with. Every line I'm like, hold on, what are you trying to say there? And it's complicated, it's dense, but I love Carr. So there we go.
It's beautiful to listen to.
Exactly. Another little feature I have, guys, another little category. I know we've talked a lot about the new stuff that's out, but this is a 90s pod. So bringing it back to the 90s, can I just say one thing? B-Boy Document Magazine, big up yourselves. They gave us a feature this year. There we go, B-Boy.
Alternate
Andy
cover.
C, big yourself up, bro. Big yourself up.
Boom.
Yes, we
Why did I not get sent one of these?
I fucking bought it. You got to support the cause. Fucking hell.
You have to actually
I want free stuff. I want free stuff. Unbelievable.
We're influencers.
do go check out this magazine.
Oh, yeah, good Defive Bloods review there. That's, yeah.
There we go.
Don't worry about the other shit in there. Oh, my God. They've got, oh, dear.
But
I'm really sorry.
And his end of year mag is coming out. It has the second part of an interview with myself. Go check that out. But lads, I just want to let you know that we've been named podcast of the year by this magazine. Yeah. So we're following people like Combat Jack.
That's ridiculous.
We've followed a lot of people in this pod, Ramesh, other people out there as well. So yes, big yourself up. Thank you for that. And we're just going to talk about 90s. So I had to bring that up because I was very, he brought on.
You've got like Zoom high five over that, no?
Yeah, that's big. Yeah, here we go.
Boom.
Boom.
Oh, look at that.
Boom. There we go. I'm not sure.
That was really cool, guys.
Really cool. Really cool. We're really.
Best podcast of the year.
Really for you, aren't we?
I love that you've got those really lovely studio shots of you, like modeling and they're in that magazine.
These were done, and I said he'll use one of these. Used all of them first. Like, it was really charismatic face. I was like, what is this?
Where can I get this magazine?
Go to bboydocument.com or on their website. And our next interview is in the next one. I'm not sure which issue, but just get all of them because they're fucking great. And Andy C is doing the fucking work for the culture right now.
Hey, what's up? This is Black Thought, and you are now rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast.
Yo. This is Stretch Armstrong.
Ooh-wee. My name is Bobby DeGarcia, a.k.a. Cool Bob Love.
You're now listening to Crate 808.
Hey, yo, what up, y'all? This is Prince Paul, and you're rocking with Crate 808 Podcast.
Yo, it's Evie Evidence, Dilated Peoples. You're rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast, my favorite shit. Let's go.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Master Ace from Brooklyn, New York, and you're checking out the Crate 808 Podcast, real hip hop.
But what I was going to say was, linking it to the 90s, 90s rediscoveries, lads. We go back to that, I'm sure we do that decade, and bring out some gems that we've just rediscovered. We know they're great, but you know, albums that hopefully we can then, when the Patreon kicks in, go and do reviews of on the side. So did you guys have any? Did you guys have any that you listened to?
I do. Yeah, I've got some.
What have you got, James?
So I think I sent over a track off one of the albums to you, which was World Renown is the group. And the track is How Nice I Am. It's got a lovely little Five Dog sample. Beautiful Pete Rockish type rich piano sample. It just sounds great. They were a group who Their album never came out in the 90s. Got shelved. The whole album, a really decent album. It's quite an amusing video to the track. If you go and have a look at it, they're basically like ripped off Puff and Biggie. And it doesn't seem to be in an ironic way, like where it seems like they've literally gone, we've got a fat guy and a skinny guy and we both rap. What should we do? Let's just dress up like Big and Puff. It's really good.
Yeah. It's K-Def, isn't it? And some hip hop geeks out there know K-Def has done a lot. It's just interesting going back to that track because I'd not really heard that track. So hearing that track again, I was like, this is fucking great. I love that. And aren't they like, isn't like one Marley Marl's cousin and the other one someone else's cousin?
I think you've done some research there.
Yeah, because I really enjoyed that track and I just did a bit of digging and I can't remember exactly what it is, but I'm sure people out there.
You two are like, Ray's looking up French meanings and then shaming us. You're looking up my own group that I've bought and knowing more about it.
I wanted to just know more about them. But
yeah, that's cool. Like,
je pense tu es très stupide. Huh? That's a little, dropped a little line off the top of the dome for a little French listeners over there. It's probably three of them. Who knows?
If that.
That was me saying you're stupid, by the way. Anyway, carry on.
I think we got that bit. But okay, I'm enjoying that.
And then the other one I bought was I&I, Pete Rock's group from the 90s. They had an album that was shelved. And then I first heard it in like the 2000s and just didn't, someone had it on vinyl or something like that, like at university. And then I didn't really think about it again. Then I saw that Pete Rock had released it a couple of years ago and it's on Spotify. So we have a really shit cover, but that I&I, and it's called Center of Attention, and it's well worth a listen if you love Pete Rock beats. The lyrics aren't amazing, they're not like incredible, but it's definitely an enjoyable listen. So yeah,
wicked, man, wicked. Just going to jump into a few of mine that I've done, and essentially I got my haul of CDs back after 7 years, so I've just been digging into them the last 2 months and it's been a fucking pleasure, man. I tell you what, Ministry of Sound can do really good compilation albums, can't they? I've got so many Ministry of Sound compilation.
What?
Yeah, really. They do really, really good mixes. But I was going to say, this is one of mine. Here it is, right? Planet of the Apes.
The Lynch Mob,
right? This is their second album. Their first album, over here, that's still banging. Everyone knows it's banging. Gorillaz in the Mist. But Planet of the Apes, honestly, there's some bits on this album that I was like, Bananas is going bananas, is an incredible track. So yes, I would definitely recommend. Unfortunately, isn't streaming, I don't think, but I'm sure you can get this on eBay for a few quid. Either way, go get it, man. It's fucking great.
I like to call the Lynch Mob Wait for the Ice Cube bit. That's what that their name is to me. Don't ignore them. Just wait for Ice Cube. Okay. And then you can just ignore them. Yeah. Always come back again. Okay. Yeah.
I really like them. But I am hoping to do an episode on some of these albums that we're talking about.
They were a little bit racist though, weren't they?
They were a little bit crazy. They were a little bit.
Ice Cube was at that point. Yeah.
They're militant. That's what it is. I have others here that I've just wanted big up. These aren't really like rediscoveries because people know about them, but this album over here, Crew.
Ah, yes. I've got some tracks from that on my playlist. It's a good album.
30 tracks. 30 is good. Yeah, 30.
They were doing the streaming numbers before streaming exists. Jesus. Yeah, absolutely.
And one more, because I just know that, okay, people know about this album, but there's something about going back to a CD and realizing, oh, this is an actual Stone Cold classic. Diamond D's Stunt Spunts and Hip Hop. This fucking album, man. Gee, I'm so glad I got my CDs back, as you can tell. So yes, hopefully we'll be doing some actual episodes on some of these albums coming up. Raymond, 90s rediscoveries from you, my friend. What have you got?
Well, as you can see, Cam and Jambo basically came up with some quite obscure, probably incredible albums. I didn't have time to listen to them because I was doing my own research. And as I thought, let me just do a little bit of exploration, started on the Das FX back catalogue, and that's all I've been listening to. That's Das FX.
Well, that's fine.
Everyone owes it to themselves to go back to Das FX because it is such, it's basic, but it's just beautiful boom bap beats. I've had like Rap Scholar on repeat earlier today. It's nostalgic as well because it is very much, it's exactly that, simple boom bap beats and diggity Das FX doing riggity,
yeah,
diggity what they do.
Biggity brilliant boom bap music.
It's
yeah, absolutely.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's it. Love that. Out of 2020, obviously we have to listen to a lot of 90s for the podcast and the episodes, but as we were doing it, Clem and I, Liberation is probably my most rinsed track this year. I think it's just on all the time. Love that track. So Liberation there from Outkast. Best hip-hop moments of 2020. I've left this quite broad for you guys because a moment can be anything for you guys. So can
this
you
podcast.
Guys tell me your favorite?
Yeah, this podcast.
Done.
That's it.
Next.
Every time that a legend has spoken to you on the pod or... Yeah,
oh, that's been the best hip-hop moment. You don't mean this episode? Oh, okay, sorry. No. Sorry.
There's two legends here. There's two legends.
But yeah, there's two legends. Who's...
That's what I was going to say.
I'm not a legend.
I'm just going to interrupt you before you go on about it. The West Side Gun takeover. Just that moment, because it's just completely, you know, that unscripted.
Yeah.
Just fucking hell. Oh. Just like, you're in full interview mode, and then it's just like, oh shit, the MVP is the MVP of 2020 has just turned up on the pod.
Boom! 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 Oh shit! Takeover, bro.
We in UK right now.
Brup, 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 brup. That's it, man. Look at that shit, man.
I'm in my Versace robe, smoking the best shit.
First of all, I've got to say, yeah, I've got so much of that fucking merch upstairs. In COVID, I can't wear that shit. I'm wearing it in my fucking garden, bro. I need this shit to go so I can wear that shit out. Do you know what I'm saying?
Slick, man, sleep in that shit, man. this is a lifestyle, bro.
You could see in Cam's eyes, behind his eyes, the streaming numbers going up.
I've got to clip this. Mate, yeah, no, I have to say, I had a category for best podcast moments, but we'll just merge the two. Because, yes, that is probably my favourite moment of our year. People go check that Baldy James interview out. Baldy's just sitting there, rolling up a blunt, chatting. And West Side Gun just jumps in and has a chat with us. So yes, I'm there with you, mate. At that moment,
I also liked Black Thought, the beginning of the Black, you know, when you do your intro for Black Thought. I like that. But an underrated moment from that was when you were like, "Are you eating Szechuan chicken there?" And his face was like sort of. And then you started to talk about the lyrics of Szechuan Chicken, and he was like, "You really like my music, don't you?" And he was like, and you could tell
I'm
he was like,
"Just a friend, Alan." Just yeah, a fan.
It was that moment where his respect level went up, but his fear level went up as well.
Oh, it's so true. Yeah. Oh man,
I remember that chicken Szechuan moment. Yeah,
but there is one great moment in that Black Thought episode that I thought I was the only one who noticed. Right, but this is what level Black Thought operates on. Big up Dad Bod Rap Pod, and Nate messaged me on the side congratulating us for that episode. And there's one moment where Black Thought goes, "You know, him and me, geniuses like us, we don't talk like that." I was like, "Oh, did you just refer to yourself as a genius?" Just very candidly. Yeah. It's like Black Thought just does that. He just knows he's a genius. You know, when we're geniuses, we're in a room. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. I was actually going to say, and thank you for listening to the pod, I was actually going to say, best hip-hop moments generally of 2020. What hip-hop moment got you fucking going in 2020? I can tell you mine straight away, because he's going to live with me forever. And that was when Primo versus RZA happened. I don't think I'd.
I was
so hyped. It was almost like I couldn't sleep. I just couldn't sleep. I couldn't wait for that. And it was the first verses that I'd really got into. It was in the moment of lockdown where I needed something like good. And then when you hear Primo and RZA are going to do a fucking, and it was just brilliant. The whole thing. I love that. That was my moment where I realized the greats are getting their flowers as well. Mm. And that's a beautiful thing.
Well, that's the thing. All of the verses, all of them. I mean, it's not a moment, but like just the fact that's happened. It's 2020. And it's very exclusive. It's particular to, like, it wouldn't have happened if the pandemic hadn't happened, would it? People just would have gone on with their own shit, you know? And now it's like,
exactly.
You know, it just shows, it's like a little window into the community that it is. Do you know what I mean? They're not separate people doing separate shit. They you know each other and they're mates and they have a laugh and they've got like banter and a background. And it's just having a little window into that has been just, yeah, been great as well. It's like another side of the verses thing that was quite good. You know, just seeing like Timbo sitting there in his house drinking wine. I'm like, he's a wine drinker. All right, it's fine. Well, you know, yeah, Swizz was in his car. It's like, I don't know if he was scared. His missus said, "You fucking take that outside," or what? I don't know what it was, what the reason was, but he was just like, "I'm just going to do it in a car because I want to keep people." I don't know what it was, but you know, just that little window into people's lives you wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah. And look how it's grown. Look how Versus has grown from them two. And another thing about it is seeing that side to RZA I've not seen that side to RZA in a long time. Like, jokey, enjoying, like, it's quite deep, it's quite spiritual, it's quite meditative. But in this, he was just like, bong, bong, check the fucking butterflies. They're beautiful outside the window. Come on, man. I'm here for that. So, yeah, RZA Primo was my hip-hop moment of the year, almost followed by, I don't know if anyone watched the boxing, Mike Tyson, and it was actually Mike Tyson. It was Nate, someone who was boxing, a basketballer, got knocked out. And I don't know if you've heard Snoop's boxing commentary, but the guy gets knocked out and Snoop was commentating and the guy gets knocked out. The guy gets knocked out and there's a professional commentator who's like, oh my God, did you see that? And Snoop just starts gospel singing like the guy's died. He's like, he's like going, oh Lord, take me. And you're like, oh my God. I want him commentating on sport always now.
No, no, that's a hard no from me. He's actually like commentated for a sort of side promotion for the UFC called Dana White's Tuesday Night Fights, and they've taken him off of it. He's not. It's fine in little tiny bits, but he's unbearable to listen to. Like, he's he doesn't really know that much about the sports either. So I hate to get serious on this, but, and he's not that funny. He's not that funny.
Snoop's fucking great. Either way, I really enjoy him. So that was my hip hop moments. So other than podcast though, lads, was there other moments that you guys thought needed to be shown a bit more love?
No.
For the year.
I don't follow hip hop like you do. I follow hip hop, the music. I don't really like. I'm not on Twitter and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, same. Like, I'm on Twitter. I read it, but I'm not. I feel like the moment you branch over to interaction is like, where's my time gone? Kind of thing. But yeah, in terms of other hip hop moments, do you know that 50 MC tune? Was it K Slay?
Oh yeah, yeah.
No, I've still not listened to it. I've not
got through it. It's 20 minutes long or something, isn't it? I've got halfway through it. I've had that moment of like, oh shit, who's next? Who's next? Oh shit, Ransom. Oh, he's cool. Oh shit. And then I've been like, I've got to get shit done. Like, you know, I've stopped it. I'll come back to this. I haven't gone back to it yet. But it's something to look forward to, you know. I'll get to it. Yeah. I'll get to it.
Absolutely. Okay.
This is TY and you are rocking with the amazing Crate 808 podcast. So listen, enjoy this week's episode, but remember to subscribe, catch a vibe, and just let it all just melt inside your body and catch the essence of hip hop, baby. All right.
And next up, we got another category. If one 90s rapper drops in 2021, who do you want it to be? And why? And I'm going to go to you, Jumbo.
Okay, so 2020 has been the year where like dusty hip hop loops and like lovely samples have come back in and it's been more of a thing. A 90s rapper dropped this year who I'd like to drop next year, but do it better. Nas. I'd like to hear Nas, not over fucking Hit Boy. Absolutely not. I'd like to hear him with Alchemist next year. That would be what I'd want to hear. Just do it right. Just get some, just if you just took Nas and put him over West Side Guns beats and production next year, just give West Side Guns, just throw some of the shit, any of your old shit that you're going to put on your eighth album of the year and just give it to Nas instead. It will still be better than that, the stuff that Nas put out this year. So
I think Hit-Boy's had a bit of a year though. Like that Benny album, he obviously saved the best beats for Benny. That's the weird thing.
But I didn't like Benny, that Benny album. I don't like his production that much. I didn't like that Benny album that much. I found that Benny album a bit like, it was mid-90s, but in not a good way.
Oh, what? Really? Burden of Proof? Mate, the way he's talking, there's actually some lyrics that are very poignant for this podcast. Last year was about branding. Next year's about expanding. Watch this space. We're looking to expand the pod. And I was like, yeah, I'm here for that. But I just think it's the Jay-Z now. Like, that's just what Jay-Z would sound like, you know, to a young kid now, I think. But either way, okay, I'm enjoying that. It also kind of verges into our other category, which was like best 2021 collabs you'd like to see. Not best, but just 2021 collabs you'd like to see. I'm here for Nas doing a few different things with different producers. It's kind of different because I actually, for 2021 collabs, I think it's time now. Give the people what they want. Let's get Jigga back and let's have him over Alchemist. Because when you have him on Written Testimony, he's great. Imagine that. Imagine just that. And I know we kind of had it this year, but I would like that. But one rapper from the 90s to drop in 2021, I can't look past Q-Tip, man.
Yes, that would be good. Yeah.
Yeah. I keep hearing he's got his projects with Black Thought, with Madlib. And then you hear Primo wants to work with DMX. I'm looking forward to seeing what all of these people do in these little collabs that they're all talking about. But Tip, man, I feel like I'm ready for that, especially after some of the stuff he's done in recent times. And I was just wondering, imagine like if he did something with Sterling Tolles or something like that. Like, imagine that. Like, it could be really mad. It could be really mad, but beautiful. So yeah, they're the ones for me. Raymond, what have you got?
I mean, mine's predictable because it's just going to be, I just want to hear my top fives over Primo. That's it. If Rakim, Meth, just bring an album over Primo.
There's nothing wrong with that, to be fair.
I know.
Did you like Rakim on the intro?
It's the most correct thing. It's the most correct thing that's been said on this podcast, as far as I'm concerned.
What do you think to Rakim on the intro to Busta's album? Do you enjoy that? It's Rakim over Nas Beats. Rakim on the intro to Busta.
It didn't blow me away. And I don't think it blew anyway. But I'm obviously happy to hear him back. But he ain't a feature artist. He ain't a feature artist. He's got to be number one. He's the main event kind of thing.
Fair enough.
Bring it. Just bring it. Bring the 19th letter. I don't know what you want to do, but just fucking, let's do it. Bring the sequel, whatever it might be.
S.
Very good. Very good. Okay, just a few more categories here, lads. To wind this up, this massive marathon that we've done. If we had feature of the year, we'd love features of the 90s.
I've got a good one for this. Got this.
Yeah? What have you got for feature of 2020, Jambo?
He's got two features on one album. It's on a Griselda, Slick Rick. Fucking killing it on both features. And he's probably the 90s rapper I'd like to... Well, he's more of an 80s rapper, but I'd like to hear him do a project next year. On Griselda, he's so slightly slick. He is what he is. He's so smooth on these beats, and like his verses just sound great on them. So yeah,
it's on Sunshine, isn't it? It's on Sunshine.
On Sunshine. He's got two tracks, and I just when he comes in, it's just so refreshing.
They were highlights, actually. Yeah,
I have to say that those are definitely in the conversation for features. Raymond, what have you got?
Oh yeah, no, I said so. It's Conway on Killer, Juicy J, that one.
Love that.
Yeah, that's
love
it. That. I mean, there's been loads of features, but like Conway, he's been bigging himself up recently, and I was like, you know what? Let me just see what the fuss is about, and then just that. Yeah, that feature was like, yeah, brings it up.
Yeah, it's interesting when we talk about features because there's also artists that may not drop a project, so you get to hear them and you're like, oh, that probably is feature because you have not heard them. Do you know what I mean? Like Tyler on the one, he did that one take, didn't he, on Something to Rap About. Mm. And I was like, this is great. This is like, oh, Tyler, but maybe it's because I haven't heard a lot of Tyler this year. So I don't know if that is the feature of the year. Do you know what I mean? Mm. But what I would say for me, feature of the year, it probably is Vince Staples on Surf and Turf. I love Vince anyway, and again, I've not heard much of him this year, and Price of Tea is great. Him and Baldy, that verse is amazing. The beat is amazing. But do you know what I listened to the other day? And I was like, God, I can't bring this one, can I? And I think Lloyd Banks on Conway's Juvenile Hell may be one of the best verse features. It's fucking
I've not heard
great.
That. I have to check it out.
Lloyd Banks is fucking great. Like, Lloyd Banks has that Lloyd Banks like delivery. It's satisfying,
yeah,
as we know.
Yeah.
He's so on beat, it's unbelievable. Mm. Like, he's so on beat. He's almost too on beat at
times. He's too on beat. It's brilliant. But on Con's album, again, check that fucking album. It's great. First of all, the track's called Juvenile Hell, and Havoc's on it as well, which I love. The fact that they've made the mob reference to Juvenile Hell on their first album. And then they just got Havoc on their doing a verse. And I thought that Lloyd, if you're going to do this, I want a bit more of it. Thank you very much. So yeah, those
he was always the best rapper in G-Unit, which isn't saying much, but still, he was good.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Fair. Okay. Brilliant features. Love that, lads. Love it. So last two, this one's a little bit different because it's not necessarily hip hop, but best, least hip hop album is what I have, which is kind of just a really weird hodgepodge category, but I just kind of want to know what else you guys were listening to as well as, you know, all the rap. So what have you got for best least hip-hop album?
Shit, I'm gonna have to I missed this one. I don't know what have I been not, I haven't been listening I'm not to got any anything. New I'm, albums
I'll, all I've got is to take the piss out of you for bringing it up in the first place.
Does it have to be albums from this year?
I was gonna say yeah.
Okay, give me a minute then.
Yeah, I'll give you a minute. I was gonna say I think Salt's album may be album of the year, but they still have that essence of hip hop and social like justice and plight. So Salt's album is incredible. Yes. I'm going to give it to Idols, Ultra Mono, even though none of you listen to it, but
I've not listened to it yet. I really enjoyed some of their stuff before.
I would love to see you at an Idols gig, Ray. I would. I think you would.
Listen, the live music experience is a different thing, but I'm never not listening to it. I ain't got time. There's too much.
You're the guy in the model village.
There's too much Das FX to listen to. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Okay. All right, then. So, Ray, if you haven't got one for this, I'm just going to ask you a question off the cuff then, mate. What was your Spotify Wrapped whilst we wait for Jumbo? What was your Spotify Wrapped?
Spotify Wrapped was, if I can remember off the top of my head, I think it was Savage, Megan.
What? She was Megan Thee Stallion was your top listened to artist on,
mate. I think
that track.
Savage was.
We're talking about just tracks, sorry. Right?
Mm-mm, just tracks. Yeah.
Does it? I take it takes into account your TikTok views as well with that type of track.
And I don't know what TikTok is. Yeah. You're forgetting my age. Then Evolution XP the Marksman. That's just I've had that.
Ooh,
that
what a project.
Just that tune, that particular tune, Evolution. It kind of slides from the left ear to the right ear as it's. Just that's just a ridiculous beat.
Love XP the Marksman. Yeah.
Savage Mahogany was. I've just had Mahogany on just because it's just I don't know.
Little Wayne.
Yeah, Little Wayne. Just the charismatic kind of just like he's just he's got some lines on there as well. Like
it's fucking funny, man. I love that. I love his rhyming. What have you got, the James? Have you found your least hip hop album?
I'd say this is quite easily least hip hop. So album wise is probably. Blake Mills, Mutable Set. I don't know whether you've heard that. It's kind of like a nice acoustic-y type, singer-songwriter-y type thing. It's good.
Okay.
But like a little bit abstract. And I've sort of resisted getting into this artist. There's another artist. I've resisted it. I know you've been into this artist for a while. Perfume Genius came out with a couple of songs on his latest album where I'm like, that's fucking amazing. Musically, it's so intensely beautiful. It's nuts. And you got to say Perfume Genius might be the least hip-hop artist of all time, possibly. So
it probably is. Oh, imagine a rapper coming out with that name, though. I'm in. I mean,
that's something. Yeah,
100%. Perfume Genius.
That's someone. They're in Fyodor Unit, right? Perfume Genius. It comes with the bars.
Oh god, that is such a Fyodor Unit name. I love that. Okay, and just the last one was a bit of a general category because there's so much music this year. Bangers of the Year 2020. If you could just list me a few of the ones that you've liked, and also which track do you think 2020 is going to be remembered for? Really?
Oh,
do you think
god, it is WAP? I know what it's.
Do you think
be remembered
it is Savage
for.
Or WAP?
No, it's going to be 6ix9ine, isn't it?
Did 6ix9ine? Did he bring a track out?
He brought out that track. What's it called? I can't even remember what it's called. The one where he's in a box in his backyard
doing the
video.
Yeah.
That's the biggest song, mate. That's the biggest song of the most streamed, probably. Like it's ridiculous.
Little Baby's up there for most streams. I think. That's
All the rappers. Do you know what? That's something I want to talk about. Is basically like how many the name trends there are. And the baby trend of Lil Baby, Da Baby, everyone's baby. It used to be Lil, you know, that was the name trend. And then someone did an article about how the new trend is rappers named after Osama bin Laden. It's a really good article. I'll look it up. But basically, like rappers are now, there's like a guy called, what is it?
Osama bin Ryman, isn't there?
Osama bin Ryman. What a name.
I'm pretty sure I saw that somewhere. I mean, I can't remember. I think I listened to it and it wasn't good, but
it's an article in GQ called Why Are So Many New Rappers Named After Osama bin Laden? And like
Jesus.
And the list is amazing. It's a literal thing. So Fat Dave Osama, that's a name. From someone's coming. He's got an album called Street Taliban, even though the Taliban and Osama bin Laden don't have anything to do with one another. There's just like Lil Zay Osama, that's another one. He calls himself that because he's terror in the streets.
But I don't mind it. I don't mind like people going on trends. It's fine. You know, it's fine. There's still a lot of Lils.
This is a really terrible trend.
Yeah.
Terrible trend. So for you, what are some of the songs that you'll remember from this year, do you think?
You go first, Ray. You go first.
So what this year is, if I had to say, like, this is not going to be remembered for any of those reasons, the trends and the, you know, the research in hip hop is just, to be honest, like before 2020, I slept on King Crooked, and that's been a lot of my listening. It's been King Crooked this year, and Ransom as well. There's been a lot of, like, you know, just like, you know, just hearing new shit You know what? And they've been around for a while. You know, you can't always be aware of fucking everything that's out there, can you?
Yeah.
But just that moment when you, absolutely, when people bring out a project, you're like, holy shit, that's amazing. And then you realize, holy shit, they've got a catalog. They've got shit they've done before. And then, yeah, so it's just those two artists in particular. I don't know, I guess I kind of slept on Slaughterhouse when it was a thing. I don't really rate Joe Budden. I don't know what you were talking about him being number one. How could he ever be? Anyway, that's just, this
he was a number one. Royce was number one in the crowd.
Royce was one. Yeah.
Oh, Royce, yeah. Was. Also incorrect, but still,
although Royce's album, can I just big up again? I thought it was a bit long. I really enjoyed the Allegory the first few times, but just want to say, big up, man. He's got the Grammy nominations. I hate Grammys. I don't give a shit about them. But what I do like is some of my favorite artists getting some recognition. And I think fair fucking play, because this will get you paid more. This will let your family eat more. This is good for the culture in that sense. And it gets you better at what you do because you have more access to other things. I think stuff like that, I agree with you. I agree, Ransom. Shay Noir, you talk about Ransom. You should check out, if we're talking about Shay Noir as well, Juno. You'd love that project with 38 Special, Ray. It's just bars and amazing beats, heavy lyrics, great beats. I would check out Juno. I would check out, 38 Special generally, but also just some of the features Ransom is doing is great. James, have you got any tracks bangers of the year?
Well, I think we bought a few of them that similar. I liked Kanye's Wash Us in the Blood.
You did, yeah.
Still enjoyed that. Sky Zoo, Good Enough Reasons. I did bring, I think it's one of my tracks, Weed in LA by the Koreatown Oddity.
What an album.
We spoke about that. And did you see Fantano gave it the yellow plaid shirt treatment. It got an 8 out of 10 on his thing. So that's really cool to see someone. I'm looking forward to revisiting that album and sort of, it was one that I enjoyed earlier in the summer when we were on lockdown, but then sort of haven't listened to it since. So that's nice that he's got a bit of recognition from someone as big as The Needle Drop. And it's going to go places, I imagine.
I had, if we're talking about more commercial things as well, I think tracks that like Franchise by Travis, it's just so addictive. His hook writing is amazing. I love that hook. I love that track generally. But it also reminds me of David Wolves, which I don't know if you've heard David Wolves' album, but David Wolves is like very much from the
David
Kanye.
Wolves.
Yeah. Ray's gonna fucking hate him. I'll tell you that right now. Because he's very
wasn't
much
there someone
the
else called David Bars or
yeah,
someone.
There was someone.
Yeah.
There was. David Wolves, could be his real name, we don't know. He bought an album out which was really like kind of addictive, but again, Travis, Kanye, that kind of vibe. There's a track called Impossible Reality Touring Test. That has been heavily on repeat for me. But yeah, going back to tracks that have been remembered for this year, I can't see anything past Savage or WAP probably being the ones that everyone's going to talk about. But I think on my personal level, it's The Contract by Conway, Ooh La La, Sean versus Flair, 1985. Yeah, it's just one of them years where Sly Green by Benny is probably one of the best Griselda tracks of all time. I would put that up as. And also, first year, I've really got into Chopped and Screwed, lads. I've never really got into Chopped and Screwed. And this is the year where it was Savage Mode 2 did a Chopped and Screwed version. And maybe it's because I had loads of Benylin and I had loads of cough syrup. But fucking great. This is great hip-hop.
Imagine if Cam just went really into lean. Just got really... And he was on the pod with like a face double tattoos. Cup. He had a double cup and he was just sipping on that.
808. Just written there. 808.
Yeah. Just the podcast really went downhill. Just went super Houston for a little while, but then...
Yeah, exactly.
Badly downhill. And then died of a heart attack.
Yeah, probably.
Yo, what up, y'all? This is DJ Premier, and you're checking out the Crates 808 podcast. I put an S on it because there's more than one record in the crate, you know what I'm saying? So that's how we dig, that's how we play, and that's what real DJs do. You heard? That's why it goes down. We out ya.
So yes, there we go. End of year episode done. I know it's been a big one. We're probably going to split this and make this into two for all you guys. Guys, it has been a fucking great year. Apart from the stuff that's happened.
Yeah, 2020 has been a great year. That's the headline. Great year.
for the pod and for hip hop music, it's been absolutely incredible. Outside of that, it's been fucking awful. But I just wanted to say thank you for being with me on this ride, guys. And let's do more in 2021. Let's bring more of this, man. Hopefully more regularly. Yeah. Do you want a quick rundown of the albums that got into Crate 808 this year. Do you want a quick rundown?
Yeah. We only did one debate, didn't we?
It was more people bringing them on as guests as well, you see.
Oh, so
we actually did quite a few debates.
Okay, I just care about the ones that I won, which is all of them. So let's do it.
Okay, so we've got into Crate 808 this year. We had, well, first of all, the triple header, Illmatic, 36 Chambers, and Doggy Style all got in because someone bottled it on the debate over here. Mama Said Knock You Out, Big, Hard to Earn, Stress the Extinction Agenda, Regulate, Operation Doomsday, E99 Eternal, Life After Death. That was good. That was a good fucking debate.
That was a good call.
Soul on Ice and Aquemini. All those, go check them in the catalogue, guys. Crate808.com.
Thank you very much.
Aquemini, Ray brought that. All those episodes are there. If you enjoy those albums, go check them albums out. Subscribe to us on YouTube, as we said earlier. Go spread the word. And yeah, man, just keep doing what you're doing. I've got some thanks and just general big ups I want to do. But before I do those, Ray and Jambo, man, thank you very much again.
My pleasure.
It's all good. It's all good.
This has been really peaceful. A lovely end to the year, as opposed to last year when it was just blood and guts and violence. Hatred.
But yeah, that leaves me with a few like things I've got to say to people out there for this year, especially. We've grown incredibly, and it's because of people like this. Special thanks to Grindhouse Music, who've always backed us. Special thanks to Lee Can, who's an absolute legend and a member of the Crate 808 family. He's always there working on behind the scenes with me. Also, to all the other pods that have shown us love, go check these pods out, man, because they're all doing hip-hop chat, which is great. But also, I featured on some of them. So go out there and check out our episodes. Rhymes Like Dimes, Shotgun the Orcs, Notorious POD, Breaking Atoms, Exit the 36 Chambers, Dad Bod Rap Pod, Take It Personal Radio. All these are doing incredible rap documentation. I truly believe it's a new movement in that fact, and giving you stuff that, I tell you what, if I was 16 and I had all this stuff around, my mind would blow. Do you know what I mean? I didn't have this. I would kill for this kind of commentary on hip hop. Instead, I had Tim Westwood just dropping bombs all the time. So that's all I had. So yeah, big up all you guys. Big up all the guests who've been on the pod. And yeah, we should catch you on the flip side.
Well, and you know, we should jump in on the end as well and, you know, say on behalf of the listeners and whatnot, that thank you to you for fucking putting this shit together. Smashing it.
You're the real hero.
Let's do it.
He's the Homelander of the Crate 808 podcast.
To be fair, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys. And you know what? Everyone who's tweeted, everyone who's left a review, everyone who's shared, everyone who's liked, big yourselves up. 2021, we're going to fucking smash it again. And more of this, man. More of this. So, yes, until the next time, peace from me. Peace to you, boys.
See you all later. Take it easy.
Peace.